Hi, my name is Peggy Blair, and I am the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. And this presentation is going to be about essentials to special education homeschooling. We're going to specifically talk about autism, since this is an autism conference. And this is the basics. This is the basics that I've been talking about for 15 years. Before I started homeschooling, my son had been in a private school. And very clearly found out and quickly that that was not going to work because he was diagnosed on the autism spectrum when he was 5. And that started our homeschool journey. And that was 18 years ago. So I have been actually a special needs homeschooling consultant for 15 years for two different state organizations and in Minnesota as well as Texas, and then started Sped Homeschool in 2017. And so I'll talk a little bit about what we do at Sped Homeschool after I'm done with the presentation, because we want to be here to support you through this. I'm not just going to give you this presentation and say, okay, go out, do it, because it requires a community, it requires support. And I hope that you understand that that through this, there are people that want to help you. And so, and there are resources, but sometimes they're hard to find. And that's what our organization is really all about. So just to give you a little preview of who I am. This is my family. This was a picture taken a couple of years ago of all of us. The one with the black cap and the sunglasses, who will turn 23 in just another month, is my son Thomas, who was diagnosed on the spectrum at age 5. He's graduating from college with a degree in biomedical engineering in May. And so he's come a long way. And our second oldest, Timothy, is with the scarf on. And he turns 21 in a couple weeks and is off to school for a week to get a specialized training. And then our daughter Maggie is 15. So that's our homeschooling family. And we've been homeschooling since. I just loved it so much that we kept going. And what I thought was going to be the worst thing that happened to our family, because I really couldn't find a school to take my son, ended up being the greatest thing that changed all of our lives for the better. And I hope that I give you that encouragement as we're going today, that this is not a death sentence. There is so much possibility, not only for homeschooling and what you can gain out of it for your children, but also yourself. And so hoping to give that encouragement to you. So this presentation, specifically what we're going to cover, is three different main topics. First of all, getting started. What are the basics? What do I need to know? How do I find this information? And just how do I feel like I'm not completely lost? Don't worry. I've been homeschooling for 18 years and sometimes I still feel lost, but you just get more used to being lost is what I usually tell people. But then we're going to talk about some common pitfalls. These were the things that people would call me on the phone as a consultant over and over again. And so I want to answer those questions for you now, so you aren't trying to find a consultant and someone else to say, what do I do with this? And then we're going to talk about unboxing high school. And so I don't want you to just like go away if you don't have children at that high school age, because a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about at the high school level, really you can start doing now, even if your children are younger. And if you have a child that's in high school, don't worry about saying, oh my goodness, I missed all these opportunities. Whatever time you have is what you work with. And you start where your student is. And we're going to talk a lot about that. So. All right, so the 9 easy steps to getting started. 9 easy. They're easy as in being simple, but they're not always easy to do. And the first one, of course, you'll see all these little pictures. These are what we call our dailies at Sped Homeschool. And we have these, we post them on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And they're just encouragement quotes from our team, from our board of directors, and some that don't have a specific person. Usually those are mine. But this was one of mine. I'm not patient enough to homeschool. And really, the reality is, if you wait till you're patient enough, you'll never start, because nobody is patient enough to homeschool. We just learn to roll with the punches. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. First of all, know your state laws. This can trip a lot of people up, because you get on the internet, you get on Facebook, and people are saying, this is the law you have to follow. This is the law you have to follow. You don't know where they live. So the law that they're quoting may not even pertain to you. Usually it doesn't, because every state sets their own homeschooling laws. And because of that, you have to go to your state organization or a website that lists out your state homeschooling laws and follow those. Those organizations are very good at updating their websites as well to let you know what the state laws are currently. So if you go to our website, we have a place that is just specifically homeschool laws listed out by the state. And if you're international, guess what? We have a link there as well. That'll take you to different countries and their homeschooling laws, because usually outside of the United States, most homeschooling laws in international countries are set by the country, not by the provinces. That is different in Canada. Canada does go by provinces. Anyways, so just something good to know. So don't feel like, oh, this person says I have to test my child every year and that I have to turn in records for tracking their school hours. Yes, in some states you do. In other states you don't. So definitely know those laws and what's required. So that will give you a little bit easier understanding of what you need to be doing and focusing your attention on what you can actually just let go. Join an organization. Okay. So I'm not talking about your local homeschool organization. I'm talking about state organizations, and I'm talking about a national organization. The reason that I tell parents this is because special needs homeschooling families deal with a lot of external people who do not usually understand homeschooling. And so they will question your ability to homeschool, as well as just, why are you doing this? You're not the best choice for teaching your child. Aren't the professionals trained to do that? What do you think you're going to do? I mean, these are the types of questions. And talking with some lawyers at like the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, they say that almost 50% of their cases are related to special needs families. And so I just want to put that out there to you, that having that organization that will back up your credibility for homeschooling is very important. We've had, as our family, have had a membership with organizations throughout our homeschooling time, and I've had to call them up once for legal representation because my son was going to a trade school and the trade school wouldn't accept his homeschool diploma. And we see this happening very often, especially when you cross state lines. So he was trying to apply for a school in Florida. We were homeschooling in Minnesota, and they knew enough about Florida homeschool law, but not enough about the national law. So having the ability to say, well, I can have my lawyer call you because that's who they are. It kind of just, they said, oh, no, that's fine. We'll accept his diploma if you say that that's acceptable in Minnesota. So anyways, those are the types of things. But if your child is, you know, going to therapists and doctors, and you have some anxiety about all those things, that's one reason to join a national or state homeschool organization. The other reason is that they're going to tap you into local resources, that things that are going on that maybe you want to take part in, maybe you don't, but they will also update you on any laws and the laws changing within your state, because they're constantly, there's things happening. And especially as we come around to another political year and new bills being passed, those things are brought up again and again. So that's another reason. And finally, it's just good because, like, again, HSLDA has consultants that are specifically there to help special needs parents. So if you have a membership, guess what? You have unlimited access to them, and they can help with writing IEPs. They can help with a whole bunch of other things. So those are the different reasons that I often tell people, join an organization. It's just something good to do. Paperwork considerations. So there's a lot of things that maybe you do or do not want to do. Your state law, of course, will dictate what you must do. But if you have a child who struggles, oftentimes you're not going to have a one set curriculum that you start from finish to end, and that shows your child's progress. And so a lot of times parents will put together a homeschool IEP to track progress. And we have a free downloadable on our website, so you can write your own IEP. And this is really nice because now the IEP originally started, of course, as a law to keep schools on track to teach kids with the free and appropriate education they should be receiving. Well, of course, we know how that's working. But on top of that, the IEP has now become a document that is your child's ticket to getting services outside of school. Doctors ask for it. Therapists ask for it. Colleges ask for it. You get my point. So not having a record of your child's need for assistance, behavioral modifications, all of these things that the school would normally be tracking disappears when you start homeschooling. And so if you know that your child is going to need some sort of history of these types of things, track it. It's very much worth your time. And again, like I said, we have a free downloadable template that on our website that will help walk you through that process. And on top of that, we have a page on a website page that will take you step by step through it with links to help you with writing goals and just everything that you need and more. So so we definitely want to help you out with that. The next thing is find your curriculum. Of course, this is where most people start. This is not where I start, because I always say find your curriculum, but wait. Because the first question I often get from somebody is, well, what curriculum is best for my child? This is their diagnosis. And I tell you, this drives my team crazy when we go to conferences. Because the problem is curriculum for a child on the autism spectrum could be any homeschool curriculum. Now, why do I say that? Well, I say that because there's many factors involved. First of all, you have to know your child. And so study your child. Take time before you even pick a curriculum. How do they best learn? What I found with my kids when I first brought my son home and decided, okay, the three-year-old's coming in, and then I had another baby, and we're going to do this all together. So with the two boys, I looked at the types of curriculum that were out there. I saw, well, there's textbooks, and there's literature-based, and there's hands-on. So which one should we do? And so gave it a little trial and error. And what we call this is de-schooling, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. Just learning how to learn. And so we decided we'd study like seafaring years, you know, the time of the discoveries of the new world. And so we did some textbook learning and color book pages. Well, I tell you, that didn't go very well at all. So I nixed that whole category out, and then we went on to the literature base. My kids liked the stories. They enjoyed it, but they really don't sit still very well. At least they didn't at that age. And so then we went on to the hands-on methods of learning, and I gave them 20 feet of rope and said, okay, we're learning knot tying today, not just out of a book, but hands-on, and you can tie me up, because they were going to be pirates that day, as long as you use a proper knot. Well, that went over big. So hands-on learning was how we went with with our homeschooling approach. And so then that gave me a better understanding of what types of curriculum should I even be looking for. And that steered our homeschooling years. So so understanding your child, but also know this: if I had not been comfortable with teaching that way, that would not have been a good fit for our family. Your teaching style, your whatever you can manage, is a big factor as well in what curriculum you should choose. So maybe an online curriculum is the best, but maybe your child needs to have a real person tutor versus one that is just point and click, and you make sure you get all your assignments done, and then it just sends me a report at the end of the day. So those are the types of things that you really need to weigh through and think through, because there are very many, there's a lot of options, but there are very few options that are going to work. And don't just go out and buy something, because you will waste your money. And then it'll become extremely frustrating that that this product that said it was going to solve all your problems doesn't. So that's unfortunately the case. We do have a place on our website that has, it's a curriculum picks page. If you go to our homepage and you click on the big pink button that says curriculum, that'll take you to our curriculum picks page, which is our partner groups, which we have personally vetted as special education homeschool parents and say, yes, this is a viable option. Usually viable options are ones that are flexible, that can be done at the pace of your child, that can be mixed, and you can teach math at one level, reading at another level. Those are the types of things that we look for, because oftentimes our kids don't fit in these nice little boxes that you can just shuffle them along year by year. So, but also it has the results of the poll that we do every year with our community on what parents would pick as their top resources. So it's because some organizations choose not to partner with us, and that's just fine. And so if they make that list, they make that list too. So anyways, that is what I have to say about curriculum. Therapy. So this is something that many parents are now realizing. This is something that we need to do as part of our homeschool, or maybe therapy is all of our homeschool. It depends on where your child's at. And so definitely consider all of these options. You need to build a team, and your therapist is part of your team. I even know some homeschooling parents who make their therapist part of their homeschool IEP, and they work on the same goals at home and at therapy. And so that is one way to supplement your teaching, as well as not having the full load of teaching your child, especially if you have other kids and if you're homeschooling them. Sorry, here in my eye. That you can homeschool maybe in the therapy office while your other child's getting therapy. I even know some therapies that are setting up their spaces, their waiting rooms, to be homeschool friendly, to have little rooms where you can teach your other kids while your one child is getting services, and maybe even switch off if you have multiple kids going in and out. So anyways, something to look for. But there are different ways to access therapy. First of all, state and federal funded services. So through the Individual with Disability and Education Act, each state gets a set of funds that go then are funneled to your school district. Now, each school district has the ability to use those funds how the state mandates, as well as within the state mandates, how they choose to use it. So I often tell parents, if you want to try to get therapy from your public school, contact your school district and ask them what their policies are for providing services for homeschooled students, because homeschooled students are considered a private school student. And so 10% of those funds from the federal level are allocated down already for private and homeschooled students. So just know that that is your right. Some private insurances will cover your therapy. Most won't, just because they see that the school is filling that void during those school age years of your child. And so they often will like build a block in that say services can't be received from this age to this age because the school's gonna cover that. We don't have to. But it's worth asking, because some do. Another option is parent provided services. There are a lot of really good websites that are written by actual therapists that are licensed, that are written for parents to be able to do therapy with their students. And so we have a listing of at-home therapy websites that are listed by like ABA and speech therapy, occupational therapy, those types of things. So if you feel like, I can do this, I just need a little help, I need some lesson plans, whatever, those are the way to go then. But maybe you're kind of saying, well, I'd like to get to that point, but I'm not quite confident in my skills yet. That's when going with an educational therapist is your best bet, because educational therapists are trained to work with your children, but they also work with you, and they will help to train you to help train your child. And so a lot of them will provide a bridge. So definitely if you're talking to an educational therapist, ask them, can I be part of this process? Will you teach me as well? Because I want to get to this point where I can start providing therapy for my child, especially as they get older. You know, they don't want to always be going to therapy all their lives. So sometimes it's just good to build it into your normal everyday lives at home. All right. So find your tribe. It is so important to have community, because you will have days where you think this is the craziest thing that has probably ever happened to anybody homeschooling. And then you share it in a group. And guess what? Most of the people have experienced it as well. Sometimes they're not willing to say that they have, but they have. So there is online support groups, Facebook, local support groups. And a lot of times what I ended up doing, because my kids just did not click with co-ops, was that we would find a local group on Facebook that did field trips or maybe casual get-togethers, nothing too organized, because if we were having a bad day, we were not coming and we were not committed. And so that was a way to get connected with some people in the community, maybe build some good friends. And over time, what I ended up doing with my kids was we just connected with two families who had kids on the autism spectrum. We hired our own teachers to do a gymnastics class and some other things. And we just did outings with our three families. And really, those were the friends that my kids needed. And they didn't need a whole classroom of kids, especially a classroom of kids they felt uncomfortable in doing a class that they were working on their social skills. They weren't working on learning things as well. And so definitely think about that there's many ways to find your tribe. And the most exciting way to find your tribe now is we just launched our Sped Strong tribe. So we launched regional groups all around the United States, as well as some international groups, where you can connect with parents who live in your area. And over time, our goal is that as these groups get bigger, that we will make them smaller by going specifically to one state, to one city, so that you can start to get to know each other. And our other goal is that in 2021, we'll be doing regional family camps in those areas with respite and a whole lot of other things that we know that you as parents with children who struggle and being with them all day, you need a break. I know, I've been there. I've cried many times. Going to homeschool conferences was probably one of the most frustrating things for me, because all I was told was, your child can go to college at age 12. And I'm thinking, will he read by age 12? And so just to have that support of other parents that are going through the same struggles that you are, and knowing that you're not alone, that is so very important. All right. So reprogram your educational philosophy. And I talked a little bit about this at the very beginning. We talk about it as deschooling. So when you're getting started, oftentimes in your mindset, school looks like this. School looks like sitting at a desk. It looks like filling in worksheets. It looks like, books. School really is about learning. And it's about teaching your child how to enjoy learning and growing and progressing in their skills, whatever skills those are. So oftentimes, if you haven't pulled your child out yet, or if you started schooling in the way that the school does it, stop. Take some time to go on some field trips to rediscover the love of learning. And this is also going to teach you a lot about your child and how they best connect with learning, how they best remember things. And again, that's going to give you a better picture on what type of curriculum is going to work as well, and what the two of you enjoy learning together, that you discover so much about yourself as a homeschooling parent and about your child. And it's that relationship that I built with my kids is what I can't, it was worth all the struggles, I'll tell you that much. Okay. Maintain your students' individuality. So each of my kids are different, which means even though we homeschooled sometimes with the same curriculum, it doesn't mean that I taught them the same way. For even a unit that we were doing, my one oldest was a builder. He builds everything, Legos. My second was an actor. He wanted to put on costumes and run around and reenact every historical event. His brother wanted to build the buildings. He wanted to be the people. And then my daughter's creative. She does the artwork, and she wants to find the pictures and the and study, you know, what was going on and what were people creating at that time. So even though we're all studying the same thing, honing into those individual things about your child that make them special, that just draw them in, that make them want to learn more. And of course, kids on the spectrum, they tend to hyper-focus. Use that to your advantage because it will pay off in the years to come, because those are the areas you want them to keep increasing skills, because eventually that is where their greatest skill set will be developed and where they can shine in a job beyond anybody else. And so again, focus on their talents, their skills. Don't rush. Go with their pace, because if you try to catch your child up to a certain spot, what you're going to do is you're going to get a lot of learning gaps that you're going to build. And especially like math and other skills where you build upon something else, eventually they're not going to be able to remember anything because they have nothing to build upon. And so take the time. Don't worry. They will. I have a story to share with you. My oldest didn't read till he was 12. And the year after that, he was reading at a college level. We worked on phonics, and we worked on other things. And he listened to audiobooks. He loved literature, but he just couldn't read it. And he wanted so badly to learn to read. And so we just kept going with the lessons, little by little, where he was at. We kept building his love for literature and using the audiobooks in place, doing read out louds, and something just clicked. And that's what needed to happen. But if I would have pushed him, he would have hated reading. He would have hated our time together just working on these skills. He would have shut down. But the time that it took to do that, and there were other things teaching that child the same way, that he just somehow made up the difference. And then we've got another child that, you know, never did make up the difference, but that's okay. Where he's at now, he doesn't need skills in that specific skill set, and that's okay. So just go with their pace. That's what's most important. Okay, mission statement. So this is important for you, not so much for your kids. Your kids are like, yeah, mom's homeschooling me. That's great. There are some days that you're going to say, I quit. I'm sending them back to school. I'm done. And you have to remember why you started this process. So a mission statement is basically, why am I doing this? And do it when you're in a good mood. And you say, this is why. And this is what I know and I believe to be true is why we're homeschooling. And write that down. Put it in pretty writing, print it out from your computer and frame it. And put it somewhere where you're going to see it every day. As an encouragement to yourself, this is why I'm sticking it out. There will be hard days. There will be days when you won't believe how much you're celebrating that something amazing has happened in your child's life because of your willingness to stick to it, but you have to stick to it. Just hang on. Okay, so now we've hit the middle. Common pitfalls and their solutions. So my child won't listen. Feel that? If you've been homeschooling at all, this is a very common problem. Unfortunately, it does happen a lot more when you pull children out of the public school, or if you have had them under other authority other than yourself, because our society trains our children that mom and dad don't know much. It's the professionals. It's all these other people that are the experts. And so a lot of times when your children will especially come home from school and the teacher has had that place of authority above mom and dad, and now mom and dad are trying to do the teaching, they dismiss you flat out. And that's a lot of the reason that kids will not listen. The other reason they won't listen is because you're going too fast. And they don't understand what you're talking about and they completely shut down. So it's either one of those two things. And so I often tell parents, just take a step back, try to figure out what might be the cause of why they're not listening. And oftentimes it's one or the other. Or maybe they just need brain breaks. Their brain is tapped out. I know I tutor a young man who has memory issues and in math, and he'll be doing good with math problems, and then all of a sudden all the answers start turning wrong. And he's like, oh, and he kind of starts avoiding me with eye contact. And I know we're kind of done. And let's play a game. And he's just tapped out. And that's all he can do. And so those are some things that may be causing that issue. And it may not be defiance. And a lot of times as parents, we want to, that'll be our go-to. Well, they're just not listening to me. They're having a behavioral issue. Back it up a little bit and see what might also be the cause. They can't get all their work done. You have a curriculum, you have a lesson plan, and they've laid all this out. Well, sometimes you're not going to be able to finish a curriculum in 1 year. Now, when I first said that at the very first conference, when I brought this slide out, I heard gasps in the room because they thought, well, what if we can't finish in a year? And then I said, well, what if it takes 2 years? Or what if it takes 3 years? Your child will learn at their own pace. You cannot force that. Sometimes curriculum is not going to progress the way the curriculum developer said it should, because they don't know your child. They don't know their learning pace. And there's other curriculums you may breeze through 2 to 3 years because that's where your child shines. So, yes, they can't get all the work done. Another way to do this is to build a 4-day school week and a 5th day that week for all the other stuff, your field trips, your doctor's appointments, and anything else that comes up. Because oftentimes when those things get into our schedule and we've planned our schedule so tight, things get pushed off to the weekend. And then we have weekend work to do when we should be spending time as a family. And we should be doing things, learning other than in books. And so that's just my suggestion about if you think that you're just not getting everything done in a week, that might be a good solution to either plan out a day or slow down in how much you're trying to put into that day. Another one that parents have talked to me is, my child's not stop learning. They're not learning a thing. I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. We do this lesson and they get it. And then the next day we go back and review and there's nothing there. Yeah. This is called a plateau. So we think that children learn in like this nice steady progression. They don't. They gather up information. Here they are. And then when all that information in their brain like comes together, they go whoop and they make this giant leap and then they plateau again because they need to wait for more information. A lot of times this will happen with math. Math is very related to common experiences and connections in the brain, and reading is the same way. A lot of reading instructors in years gone by said if a child can't do lateral monkey bars, they're not ready to read because of the crossover that's needed in that process. So oftentimes, just taking a step back, trying a different curriculum method, maybe for the same subject, because it might approach it in a different way, that might get those wheels turning, or just taking some time off and then coming back to it in a week or maybe 2 weeks or a month. But those are some suggestions. If your child has stopped learning, don't just keep trying to teach them with the same method because it's not going to help them progress. They need something else in order to make that leap. And it may just be time. Okay. I've taken away all the extras and they still aren't finishing their work. So this is one I've heard from a couple parents and I had to keep myself from laughing because I want to put it in this context for you. So parents will say, my child, we're down to reading and math and they can't do it. Why not? And I flip it this way. So what if the only thing that you had to wake up to and do every morning were the two things that you hated most? For me, it would be cleaning my house and washing the dog. Okay, I wouldn't get out of bed because I don't want to do those things. So how do you solve that problem? How I solved the problem was I added in subjects that my kids liked, and they weren't school subjects. They were like other things that we made school. For my oldest, we did mechanical engineering in fifth grade, which was building connect sets of historical bridges. And so we got through the tough reading, and then we did mechanical engineering. And so a lot of times for your kids, they just need that incentive. They need those breaks. They need to know that learning isn't just hard. Learning can be fun. And so kind of dig into their skill sets, dig into their interests, and make one or more of those things school subjects in between the tough things, because that will help them get through their day instead of just taking everything away and saying, oh, this is all you have to do. Why can't you do it? We'll never get caught up at this rate. Yes, you may not, because getting caught up is some statistic of where average kids fit. It's not your child. And trying to get your child to average or above average is not a pursuit that is going to lead to any success. You want your child to progress, and you want to see them learning skills. And if they're not, then of course there's something going on. And also I want to address that if you come back and your child still isn't learning, and you've taken breaks and you've tried different curriculums, and you may want to get an evaluation with a therapist or an educational therapist to just see if there are some other learning blocks that your child's dealing with. So, I already addressed the curriculum thing, and you can't find curriculum based on your child's diagnoses or a lot of other things. There's so many other factors involved. Okay, so common pitfalls. Now, unboxing high school. High school is like the most exciting time to homeschool your kids. And this is why I want you to stick around, because this is your goal, is to get into the high school years. And so a transition time is when you hit those last 4 years or whatever, how many years you're going to do high school, which I want to let you know, most state laws don't say that 18 is when your child has to graduate. Some parents who have kids that are going to be home with them the rest of their lives, they homeschool every day still, because their child, this has become a way of life. This is how the family operates, and it's a comfort thing to them. And so we're constantly learning. Now, it can morph. It doesn't have to look like books and all those things. And high school is the years to do that, because this is where you're preparing your child for wherever they're going, and that's where they're transitioning to. And so that's why I would say we need to take it out of the box, because this is when I really got to know who my kids were and what was going on in their lives. Okay. There is a lot of resources for transition planning. I put some of these up on the screen here. The TAG test is one that a lot of high schools will use to figure out functional skills of a high schooler and what they need to learn to bridge that gap and in those years of high school, so that they are ready for wherever they're transitioning to. And then all these other organizations as well. Now, coming out, we are just finishing the drafts this week. We're writing a comprehensive homeschooling high school manual for special education. And it's a multi-organization are writing this. And so it's a 22 chapter manual, and it's going to have everything in there that you need from start to finish of high school. And I'm so excited that we're going to have this resource available very soon. It's going to head into editing right now, and then after that. So you may want to write these down, especially if your student is in high school right now. The lifeskills.kc.org is a simple life skills assessment. My next move is about job skills and trying to figure out what your child might even be interested in for a job. AskJan.org is about disability and the ADA law and how to ask for accommodations when a job. And Encuentro is a company that does online training for young adults that are in the job workforce, especially those on the autism spectrum. And they they help kids sort out, well, if I said this to my coworker, why did they act this way? And so it's kind of like small group counseling online. And they are a wonderful organization as well. So just some resources to think about. But accommodations and modifications. So this is where an IEP is really important, and tracking even more so, because in the high school years is where if your child's going to college and they're asking for accommodations and modifications on the SAT, the ACT, or any other placement test, they will ask for these. There are some tests that don't require it still to get some simple modifications or accommodations. Again, all that's in our manual, and a lot of the information as well is on our website. We have this whole high school checklist as well. So that's interesting. And also looking into assistive technology is important, because your child is becoming more independent as they hit those high school years. And you want them to be as independent as they can. And so finding assistive technology that can help with that, no matter what it is helpful. I know the one family that that I saw use this in a very effective way. They saw that their son, who was a nonverbal, and he was also in a wheelchair, he loved music. And so they got him an iPad. They taught him how to use this iPad for communication. But his love of music kind of took over, and he would keep all of his songs on his iPad as well. And so as his parents were watching this, they realized this assistive technology could be a job for him. And guess what? He is now a DJ, and he goes in for weddings and school events, and he wheels his wheelchair around and he runs the music from his iPad. So there's just so many possibilities if you just watch your student. And this is the beauty of high school, is you have that time when you homeschool to figure those things out and to let your kids take some tangents, try some things. Yeah, not all of it might work, or not all of it may end in what they want to do in their career, but they tried it at least, and you didn't waste a lot of money usually doing it, which is a good thing. So then in high school, we look at core subjects, electives, combining credits, those types of things. So core subjects, sometimes states require what subjects you have to teach. Others don't. And so building those in at whatever level your student can learn that that specific skill is important. So math may look like consumer math. It may look like learning how to count money. It may even be more simple than that, but however you build that into your homeschooling is wherever your child's at. And then electives are the same thing. Whatever other things that you do that you can count credit for. Again, like I said, we did mechanical engineering in fifth grade, and some of the things that my son, even all my kids, have done in their junior high years counted as high school credits because they were higher level subjects. And at that point, we just counted hours. And so a wonderful thing about high school credits is that if your child spends 120 to 180 hours on anything, that can count as a credit, as long as you figure out if you can track those hours and give them a grade and find some way to grade it. So if they're participating in a sport or doing something extracurricular that is giving them skills, you can actually name that and say, this is their class that they were taking. So I had a son that created his own podcast for a year. And so podcasting was one credit. And how he was evaluated is he asked his brother to evaluate him, because I guess mom didn't understand very much about those things and about the content, especially because he was talking about gaming and all these other things. So I said, okay, if you're willing to let your older brother grade you, that's kind of risky, but that's okay with me. So we put down some criteria, and that's what he was graded on. So, and the other thing I have on here is about combining credits. So if your child is doing something that is both using maybe math skills and writing skills, and you know, maybe they're starting their own business, and if they do that, how many hours are they spending on doing all of these different things? And can you count that one activity for multiple classes? Yes, you can. And you can even do overlap. So if your child is reading or listening to an audiobook that is history and historical fiction, you can count that as both an English hour as well as a history hour. Ha ha. So yes, high school does not have to take 8 hours a day to accomplish. It can take a lot less. But again, it takes a little creative planning and looking. And again, our manual that's coming out will walk you through that a lot. But Seven Sisters Homeschool has a lot of really good resources too. And you can find them on our website or theirs. All right. So life skills, therapy goals, work study, and volunteering, all of those things can be high school credit as well. And so don't just close the box to, well, these are the educational, you know, school subjects that we have to have on our transcript. I actually did an interview with Vicki Tillman from Seven Sisters, and we talked about this. And she said, you know, the thing that employers and colleges look for on transcripts is what makes your child stand out. Not that they fit all the, checked all the little average boxes that everybody else does. She said, if your student has something on their high school transcript that is a specialty, that makes them stand out. That this child has, this student has something special about them that they're willing to pursue. And that's something we don't see. And so again, child's on the spectrum, they tend to focus on some things and really drill in, whether it's history, whether it's science or engineering or whatever. Use that to your advantage. Make those into high school credits. Put those on your child's transcript. And that will just show where they shine. Okay. Transcripts, diplomas, and graduation. There's a lot of transcript templates. You don't need to create your own. They're free, they're downloadable, they're online, they're everywhere. If you go to our website and our high school checklist, there's links right there for you to some of those free ones. Again, in our manual, we'll have even more printables and things like that. And so those are easy. On average, a child will have anywhere between 6 to 8 credits a year on their transcript. And so guess what? In most states, you as a parent decide what they need on their transcript in order to graduate. You set the graduation requirements as well. And so when your child's transcript is filled to the point where you say, yes, this is acceptable to our homeschool for you to receive a diploma, you say, well, this is our graduation date. You have done it all. You've done everything that we said you needed to do. And then it's just as easy as the transcript. You print off a diploma that you can either get free online or have a service print for you. For my oldest, we printed it off the HSLDA website and got a nice prepackaged, beautiful diploma and paid $20-some for it. For my second child, I had a free template and I sent it to Kinko's and I paid $1.27 for it. But they're both equivalent. They both are acceptable to any college, any trade school that they are a high school graduate. And because in our state, as well as most states, your diploma is equivalent to any private or public school. And so, yeah, that's really all you do. And then you throw a graduation party if they want one. And my one thing that I always tell parents is, it's very, very important to understand that you are the sole owner, and so is your child, of those transcripts and diplomas. You can't go back to a school and say, oh, can I get another copy of this? Because you have the original copy. So keep it somewhere safe, back it up on a file, put it in a safe that's fireproof, floodproof, you know, whatever you need to do, because when those copies are lost, they're lost. And you don't want some kind of disaster to make that obsolete. So there's my other point on that one. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about Sped Homeschool as I wrap up here. So our goal at Sped Homeschool is to keep encouraging you. And so that's what our team, our board of directors, are all about. And so our website is filled with resources, and they're free. They're free to you because we know how much of a struggle it is. Every single member of my team, every single member of my board has homeschooled special education. We have over 150 years combined of special education homeschooling background. So we know what we're talking about. Our website just was currently recognized by study.com as the number two website out of all the websites they reviewed. And it was, I think, close to 500 of new to homeschooling information. And so if you're just getting started, they said we're second to best of where to go. So that's pretty awesome. And also we have a podcast, and our podcast was rated, they haven't rated the new ones for this year yet, but it was in the top 20 podcasts to follow in 2019. And so I do a live broadcast every week, and then we turn that broadcast. I do interviews with various people, and every month it's a different type, it's a different topic, and then all of the interviews are based on that topic for that month, as well as our new articles that come out on our website. And so those get turned into podcasts, and they're released on Sundays. So that's definitely something to plug into, literally, because our parents say, I'm so busy, but I need encouragement, I need resources, and putting a podcast in my ear is an easy way to do that. You can download it. You'll find us on iTunes, you'll find us on Google Play, on Spotify, but if you want to find us directly on our Podomatic channel, you can just go to our website and go from there. So like I said, we have regional tribes. Definitely join those. You can just go to our homepage and you can click on the button and find your region and then join your regional group. We have weekly live broadcasts. And again, you can find that broadcast schedule by going to our homepage. And otherwise, we broadcast live on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, on our Periscope channel, as well as on Facebook. And so you can join in the conversation. If you want to actually interact with a speaker that we're interviewing, you can look down the list, who's coming up, what subjects are we talking about, do I have questions? Join us live. It's 8 p.m. Central every week, most weeks. When I'm traveling, sometimes we mix that up a little bit. We do have quick guides, and those are a summary of our entire month content, everything we create in a month based on one topic. And so you can click and choose, like choosing curriculum. We have one whole month that we focused on that. And so there's a lot of really good resources just on that. So like I said, we have our videos. We have close to almost 500 now videos on our YouTube channel that you can watch. So lots of content on there. And then our podcasts and our articles. We've been writing articles since we started in 2017. And so there's a lot of really good content on there. We do have Facebook groups as well. And those are, of course, international. And so we have a buy-sell group, a resource sharing group, and our support group there. We do vet organizations. So all the resources that are on our website are people we have talked to. We have made sure that they actually sell resources that are worth your money and investigating. So, and again, I talked about the at-home therapy service resources that we have. So if you want to do therapy at home, definitely look into that. And of course, Pinterest. Who doesn't have Pinterest? But sometimes it can drive you crazy. But all of our resources are sorted out by things there too. So hope you just dive in. Take advantage of these free resources that we offer you. And I hope that they will encourage you, and that this hour of information wasn't too overwhelming, but that that you'll just kind of tap into all these things and be encouraged. You can do this. And it will be a struggle, but I promise you, on the other side, it's well worth it. The relationships I have with my kids, I would have never had we not homeschooled. I know that. And I dearly enjoy my adult children as well as the one I'm still homeschooling for a couple more years. But just be encouraged. And we're here to walk with you, to talk with you, to get you through this. So it's a wonderful journey. And you'll learn so much about your child and yourself in the process. So thanks for watching my session. And I hope you get a lot out of this whole conference. And yeah. And I'll see you, I guess, on Sped Homeschool Conversations.